Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Fan Critical. It's special because much like the show we are about to talk about, we were fractured, split up, trying to all get back together to save the podcasting world from calamity, and somehow we've all joined together again in a way. So hello to Lucy, Gaz, John, and I am your host, Len. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you doing? Great to have all here.
We're not all reunited though, are we?
Well, I've added a line, Lucy. Here we go. The only issue is we have to rescue Emma from the upside down. She's communicating to us right now through the lights that she misses us all, and hopefully she will be a part of the final episodes in about a month's time. So there you go,
nice
Lucy.
Save. Answered you.
Really good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. Don't quit your day job. How are you all doing, guys? How is it? This is lovely. This is a lovely little treat to have all.
Stop saying all of us. More than three of us.
it's not correct.
That's good, isn't it? I had to hold back yawning right at the beginning there, because that feels fairly disrespectful, because obviously this is a momentous occasion. But I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit tired. It's been a while since I did a pod. The last one I did was...
Welcome back.
In the Outback.
Yeah, well, you know, to make this work, we've done the old classic thing that we said we'd never do again, which is me and Gaz getting up at the break of dawn, literally, even before the sun has risen, in a way. But it's worth it, because what we're talking about is one of the shows that founded this podcast and also one of our favourite shows on television. We are, of course, talking about Stranger Things Season 4, which dropped about 3 weeks ago. And the reason this podcast has taken so long getting to you is because the episodes themselves are absolutely ginormous. Absolutely bizarre how long they are, but we'll get into that. So the way we've been doing things, guys... Yeah, recently, is a spoiler-free blueberry review at the top of the episode, okay? And this is interesting because I have no idea what John thinks of the show. I sort of have an idea what Lucy thinks of the show, and I've spoken to Gaz a little bit, so I think this is going to be bloobs all over the place. I'm going to start with Lucy today, yeah? Mm-hmm. You get the honour of giving us your... blueberry spoiler-free, remember, review of Stranger Things season 4. And just remember, listener, season 4 is not over. There are two
one
dear listener
it's Emma
dear listener. Yeah.
Hi, Emma.
Emma, blink the lights if you can. No? Okay. Remember, there's two episodes coming out at the start of July, which will wrap up this season. So this is kind of like a weird juncture at the end of season four. All right, Lucy, give us your thoughts,
okay,
please.
So listeners to the first episode we did on the first two episodes of the season,
yep,
will...
one listener.
Yep, Emma again. Will know that I didn't really enjoy
she was in it.
Season three that much, and I didn't really want to watch season four because I didn't enjoy it. But then obviously Len blew the horn of Gondor and summoned us all back together. Mm. So I thought, fine.
Been doing that again, have you?
Yeah.
I'll watch season four, and I've really enjoyed it. I think it's a return to form. It's not perfect, but I've enjoyed it. It's been very scary. It's been moving at times. it's been boring in other times, but it's fine. And I think overall so far, I would give the season, as I've seen it, a 4 blueberry rating.
Oh, lovely. A lovely, succinct response there with 4 blues.
Spoiler free, you'll note.
Let's move on to our boy John, who, right, as he said, his last appearance on the podcast, he was getting mauled by spiders the size of...
Gaz.
Some say cars. And Gareth, yes. Gareth, you know, he's a small little fellow, but in relation to spiders, pretty big. Mm. So there were some big spiders there. There was, you know, the noises of nature in the background. Now John is back in London, surrounded by the noise of traffic, planes flying overhead,
smog,
and all that jazz.
Yeah, people being knifed on the streets, isn't it? Not London knife crime. So,
hey,
not really.
Can you be quiet down there? I'm trying to record a podcast.
How selfish.
Yeah.
Turn the siren off.
Selfish.
No one's going to talk around here anyway.
Here he is.
All right, let's crack on with Stranger Things. I'm going to give it 4 bloobs. No fucking around. Straight to the point.
Beautiful.
Yeah. There are moments of this season that are very boring. Really dull. To be honest, well, I mean, we'll talk about the fucking Will Byers and his 58-year-old brother and the shittest new character who's supposed to be like a Bill and Ted ripoff. He's awful. Delete them from the season. I think you could probably be pushing for maybe a 5 bloop. I think when this series is at its best, it does elicit reactions that are... I don't know if you guys watch this differently as parents, I don't know, but I when it is at its best, it does pull out emotions that...
It's better than being a parent.
Much better than being a parent, much better.
Yeah.
Much better than knife crime. So no, I
controversial, yeah, no, take. Look,
hot take.
yeah people that just stab innocents are like, oh, what do you mean? Nah, you're not doing it right. So yeah, for the most part, I enjoyed it. I do think it's getting to the point now where it's like, just wrap it up. This has got to be the last season, surely.
It is, isn't it?
Nah, there is a season 5 and that is the last season.
I am not watching that.
Unbelievable. Lucy loved season 4, but I'm not watching fucking season 5. That's my hot take.
I agree. It should be the end. I'm not.
Okay. All right.
The episodes are too long for it to not warrant
they are too
it being
long.
The end, you know?
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
Move on.
Well, I'll tell you what I am surprised about. John giving it 4 bloobs, because there were hints in his WhatsApp messages where I was like, oh, I think he's going to go the other way here. So it's nice to think that, you know, you're back on the positive side of the force.
He tricked you.
Gareth, over to
you. You're a little trickster, John.
He is a little tricky bugger.
I felt the same. If you saw what the conversations that I'd had with Len about this,
nudes,
compared to the messages that you'd been sending, it's gonna be it's a massive surprise that we're both giving it 4 blueberries.
Oh,
I really enjoyed it, but I think I I don't want to veer into spoiler territory here, but I preferred the first half of the 7 episodes that we've had to the second, which is maybe strange because there's a lot that happens in those last few episodes, but maybe the execution of some things is better in that. Do you know what? I say first half. I mean the middle section of the season is where it's really strong.
The midfield.
And the in the midfield.
Great midfielders.
They've got a quality defensive mid and a creative box-to-box number 8. Yeah. And that's episode 4, which I can't wait to talk about. I actually can't wait to talk about that. There were definitely scenes where I was like, oh my word, can we stop coming back to this place? And there's one really obvious candidate, but I think there's another one that I imagine other people are going to disagree with me on, but I'm looking forward to it. Because for me, the strength of the show is Hawkins and just the gang being the gang in, you know, small town America. That's where it finds its strength. And I'm glad that it feels like the bones of the show are still being held in Hawkins, and that's where we're going to end up. I didn't want this to turn into some sort of all global apocalyptic kind of story, and it hasn't, which is to its credit. It's managed to stay small town in scale, I think. But yeah, it's not without its minor issues, but I still love it. And at its best, and when it is hitting its heights, it's some of the best TV around for sure. Four blueberries.
Well, it's, you know what, this is going to be a, thank you, Gareth, this is going to be a 4 scores of 4 situation, which is, you know, strange in its own right. Because I'm going to agree with everything you've said. But I'll tell you what is interesting. I said this to Gaz when we were talking about it, sort of midway through the season. And I was like, I think I even said this to you, Lucy, as well, when we, you know, were chatting about it. And it was the fact that every time a new season of Stranger Things comes out, I have zero hype for it. Zero. Like, I'm kind of like, I don't even know if I want to watch this, which is weird. It's like this show has a, I don't know, like when you finish it, because it's, you binge it and you literally binge it in the space of like a couple of days. If you're me, you binge it on a plane flight back to the UK and it's done. You know what I mean? And then it's like, you kind of like get your memory wiped. And
yeah.
And when I started watching the season, I was like, why do I have zero hype for this show? I actually really love this show. I love the characters. I love the setting. I love the music. I love the sort of creature design. I love all of that stuff. It's right up my alley. So I was like, why do I never get excited for this show? And it's such a weird thing. Like when Game of Thrones, when you're like waiting for a new season of Game of Thrones, you're like, fucking hell. You're like literally like getting up at, when it airs in America and you're watching it as, you know, as it fucking premieres here. I'm just like, yeah, you know, well, Stranger Things is back. That's cool. Which I don't know why that happens. It's a really, really weird show. And I think it being released all at once actually really hurts its sort of, the place where it sits on the pantheon of shows, because you just get it over and done with. And it also makes it hard for us to podcast on, because, you know, we're kind of like, it's not a water cooler show. You know, you don't really, it has its shelf life of 2 weeks and that's it. You know, this is, you know, after people listen to this, they're probably not going to listen to anything ever again, because this is obviously going to be the best podcast ever. But other than that, they're just going to be like, I'm done with Stranger Things for the next 3 years, or a couple months till these episodes come out, then 3 years again or whatever. So it's a weird show, but yeah, 4 for me. I think this probably is the best season since season 1, and I think it's massively, massively helped by having a main villain, which gives at least a bit more structure to the season. Like, I'm not having to go at the Mind Flayer or anything, but he's just a faceless blob monster. Don't have a go at him. He's a faceless blob monster. And it's just a bit dull. Whereas, you know, and it's no spoiler here, because it's hugely, it gets revealed in episode 1, and it's been massively, you know, publicized that there is a main villain called Vecna in this season. And fuck me, it's brilliant. just everything about the whole construction with the practical effects, the acting, the way it tethers an actual storyline together in a more cohesive manner and puts a face to an enemy that we desperately needed. I think, you know, or half a face in a way, because, you know, but he's great.
I think like the effectiveness of Vecna is amplified by Eleven's lack of power as well, because we're just seeing the gang try and solve the mystery and figure out who he is without it just being like, point your hand at him and see what happens, like with Eleven. I think that's really helped the kind of Goonies vibe of like trying to unravel the truth behind him. And that's better than it just being like, point Eleven at it and like hope she can defeat it.
Point Eleven at it.
Hey, point Eleven at this thing over here.
Throw your roller skates at it.
I was watching just a sidebar. I don't know if I said this to Gareth or whatever, but the Jurassic World Dominion trailer and how Chris Pratt just holds his hand out to all dinosaurs at all times. And he's like, I know what will solve this T-Rex. He just puts his hand out and then like, it's just fucking
We're going to find your mom, Blue. What the fuck is this?
It was like a 90-second trailer and he does it four times.
It's so bad.
This isn't a special power, mate.
I've made a decision not to see that film. Out of just love for the original. But yeah, back to Stranger Things. Four from all of us, which is a bloody lovely lovely score. And if Emma was here, Emma, blink. How many blinks? She's giving it four, guys. That's five fours. Unbelievable. Lovely. She's an absolute legend. So, right, Emma, coming.
Kids listening to this are pissing themselves.
I hope Emma's all right. Yeah, she's fine. Don't worry about it.
All right. What's wrong with you? Why are you speaking like that?
All right, we're going to have a quick advert break, and after that we're going to come back with our highlights of season four. Yes, quick advert here just to say that thank you for your fantastic support over the last few months, and I hope you're enjoying having most of the gang back together. If you would like to sponsor us further, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical and donate some monies to, we're not a charity, but in a way we kind of are, because this isn't our day job. And there's a lot of financial costs like running the podcast, hosting the podcast, equipment. So any donation from you guys is extremely well valued and helps us continue covering the shows that we love talking about and you love hearing us talk about, hopefully. So you can go to patreon.com/fancritical. Welcome to the Patreon family, Eric Rin. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on board, and thank you for your fantastic donation. Your support means the world to us. I know that you've also commissioned a podcast for us to discuss, and that will be coming to you as soon as we can get it to you. That is an option you have, guys. You can get us to talk about something that you really want us to talk about, and that is what Eric has done. So thank you so much, Eric. The whole team are so grateful for your support, and we're grateful to all of our Patreons for your fantastic support. Like I said, it does actually mean the world to us, so thank you so much. Just to say, we've got a few episodes coming up in the future. Hopefully me and John will get together at some point and talk about Obi-Wan, because that's bloody brilliant, I think, personally. So spoiler warning there, John. I'm bloody loving it.
Yeah, not four bloobs though, is it? Definitely not.
Could be a five in a way. Anyway, that's what we've got coming up in the future. Thanks, guys. And we're going to go on to the spoiler thoughts on Stranger Things season four. All right, guys. I thought, instead of running down the whole season, we could just talk about our personal highlights of the season, because there's a few standout ones. At least one amazing one, which I hope we're going to talk about. But I'm going to throw the floor open to you all for you to say kind of what you loved most about the season and just have a free-flowing chat about, you know, what really worked for us. Okay? Over to you.
I'm going to jump in before anybody else steals it.
Oh, I got my hand up. Yep, go on.
Yeah, do. Because this episode four was just brilliant, and the ending of episode four is one of my favorite like 5 minutes of TV in a long time. I think Kate Bush is experiencing something of a renaissance at the moment.
Oh yeah,
raking anyway, it.
But
good.
Oh man,
raking it in.
Big bucks. Going
to number one, man.
Money grab. But the way that this show, that this season used her music, but Running Up That Hill in particular is so good. And they'd sort of seeded it before. Mm-hmm. People were already talking about Running Up That Hill before episode four happened, because it appeared. In fact, I think you might have mentioned it, or Emma mentioned it, Lucy.
We did, yes.
The episode one and two pod. Mm-hmm. See?
Which is funny, yeah, because it kind of preempted just how massive it was going to get. We preempted that, yeah. We kind of discovered Kate Bush, in a way.
It was on you, yeah. I was like, Kate Bush?
Yeah, Kate Bush.
She's a new one.
The ending with Max and Vecna, I think probably deep down I knew that Max would be all right, but I think, I don't know, something happened. I allowed myself to get fully invested and terrified that Max was actually going to experience that dreadful fate that we had already seen befall some of her fellow Hawkins residents. But the way her escaping and the Kate Bush swelling was just unreal. I don't get, like, I very rarely get emotional watching TV or film. Really got me. Like, I was welling up at the end. I held it back because I'm an Englishman and that's what we do. But
strong man.
But exactly, boys don't cry except when they're watching TV shows about teenagers escaping D&D monsters. But no, I just thought that was an amazing scene, a brilliant bit of TV that immediately after I watched, I text you, Len, as the final credits were rolling. I was like, episode four.
Yeah, it's perfectly constructed, because it's one of those things that me and John will talk about this on WhatsApp as well. You see it coming, like it's. You know, the whole episode is building towards, like, oh, what can they do to break them out of this trance? And you hear the music and then you're like, okay. But it still hit me in the face, like I wasn't expecting it. Like when Kate Bush comes on, I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. And you kind of forget that that song has an amazing sort of gear change towards the end that just worked. And they sort of really, really boosted it, like when, you know, Max is like having all these amazing flashback moments. I watched it again just before we recorded, actually, just because I was just like, is it that good? And I watched it again and I was like, it's unbelievably well constructed. Like, it just from a filmmaking point of view, it's so well earned, and it's testament to the show that, like, we're joking about Kate Bush and how she's doing really well on that, but like John said, she's going to be number one in the UK. She had a first top 10 Billboard hit now with Running Up That Hill in America, and it's climbing. She had a number one album now. Yeah. It's mental to think that, you know, like I said, do people care about Stranger Things? Well, I tell you fucking what, it seems like people do. Because for these things to happen, the show has to be extremely popular. Like, people actually are taking it in. They're not just watching one season, one episode bouncing off. They're watching it all. And they're fully invested. And I think that scene, for me, and Lucy and John can give your thoughts on it in a second, but I think it's one of the best endings to an episode of television I've ever, ever seen. Like, and like, it's predictable, but I was crying. I was crying, Gareth, and I do get very emotional. I do get emotional because I ain't hard in that.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
I'm a softy. But, you know, it got me weeping all over the... I felt sorry for the people sitting next to me on the plane, actually. I was on a 14-hour flight back to the UK. Hey, stop crying on me. No, yeah, and I was like, just chill out, mate. I don't know.
I'm trying to fly the plane.
Go on then, John. Shit all over our favourite moments.
No. Look, Len has put it very well in the fact that its construction is brilliant. It really is. But it's just sometimes like, you know what? Kill her off, innit? Just kill her off. And I like Max. I think she's been brilliant this season. And I think she'll actually go on and... Yeah, I think she'll go on and have a fairly decent career after this. But it's just, I just, at no point did I feel like she was in any sort of real peril. And you know, so that's all. So some people might argue that it's cheap of me to want her to die at that point, but that's all. But look, it's construction, brilliant.
Yeah, music swells, she's running. You know, there's that moment where it sort of cuts to black for like three seconds. Imagine that instead of her jump, like waking up,
imagine the battery dies. Imagine the batteries die.
Oh,
on the headphones.
Tell you what, John, that is actually... Hey, I tell you what, John, something like that might happen towards the end because that's a very good plot device that you just saw there.
But imagine them scrambling to like get new batteries out of something else and you just see her slowly go back. And by the time they do it, dead.
Oh, God.
Pretty devastating.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue that this season has, and John was talking about this, is like the deaths and that, but like, do we ever think anyone's going to die? Because there is that sort of element where I'm like, oh, they're kids. Do you know what I mean? They're killing these kids off. Like, I just...
They're kids, man.
I think someone's going to die. Are we going on to spoilers? Or should I wait till predictions for the future? No.
Can we on one highlight spoilers. So far? Let's slow it down, right?
Okay, yeah. Shall I wait with my death? You're wrapping this up? My death request, not request.
request. All right. Well, let's go on. Let's wait, Lucy. Yeah, you're John's right. Let's go towards the end, and then we'll talk about who we think could die. But I just think it's interesting that, like Max, if you'd said before this season, I was like, yeah, she got a bit better in season three, but she's not one of my favourite characters. To now, this season, she's the standout for me. So if we had lost her, I would have been a bit devastated, actually, which is why I got so emotional. I want to talk about the brutality of the deaths, which we've sort of mentioned, because to me, they really dialed it up to 11 this season.
Oh, go away.
Yeah, I'm not even stop recording here. I'm going to say, can we just ignore it? Can we just ignore him?
Sorry, yeah. I had to get it in there once, all right, and it won't happen again.
You get it in there 11 times by the end of it.
Ooh, bloody hell. What I will say is, this was really channeling some of my favorite horror sort of moments from films and TV shows that I've watched in the past, and it's something that Stranger Things I didn't think they'd go there. So at the end of episode one, you see how Vecna kills his victims. And I remember just turning to my partner, Mel, and she was like fucking terrified. And I was just like, oh shit, I cannot believe they've just done that. Like, like it was just such a shock to me that they went for such brutality, because it is fucking brutal. I think by the time you get
probably
to the end
my
of the
highlight of the season, I have to say.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, go on then, John. What? Why did you
just,
like it?
It's so like, oh fucking hell! Like, well, I just wasn't expecting it. It felt like not only was it like a genre switch, but it also felt like I was now watching a program that was a little bit older than. So the program's got the audience is older as the kids have got older. I didn't expect it.
I did think that it was, by the time we got to the end of the season, it had lost its magic, because it's one of those things you kind of you need to see once or twice, but when you see it like three or four times, you're just a bit like, okay, I'm completely desensitized to that now. But that first initial one with with Chrissy,
do something else.
It was amazing. It was proper. Reminded me of some. We'll talk about it later because there's a little game coming up later. I don't want to say what it reminded me of because it might be one of the answers. But it just ticked so many boxes and added an extra dimension of horror that I think since the Demogorgon we've kind of lost. The Demogorgon in season one, obviously.
yeah.
You know,
he doesn't want to be in it anymore.
He does. Well, he just fucked off to Russia.
I think also just the death scenes are horrible, but a lot of the visions that accompany them are also terrifying.
The clock, the clock motif is terrifying, and the sound that comes with it.
I want to come back to the clock at some point because there's a little.
You can talk about it now, Lucy. Well, talk about whatever you want.
This is clock section.
Clock watch.
It's time.
I call it Cuckoo Land.
What's the name of the. The guidance counselor, is it Miss Kelly?
Yeah.
What's her deal? Because she had that clock in her house.
Did she have it in her house or was it a vision?
Well, I don't know. But she gave her like a key, didn't she? Am I having visions? No?
Okay. I think Lucy's having
you're
visions.
In trouble.
I think,
oh my God.
Put some Kate Bush on.
I think there was some kind of link. Oh, is it just that people were seeing her because they're having these visions?
Yeah.
Or I don't know, and then she just kind of vanished. I do wonder.
Okay, interesting.
That's ends in clock that... watch. You can move on.
Okay, there you go. It's time to move on.
Stopwatch.
Yep. Oh, very good, John. That is good. That is good. That.
But yeah, just as a visual like treat, those visions are excellent, and they are really scary and. Mm. There is something, like, I mean, grandfather clocks are creepy anyway, but for them to be making that noise, Jesus.
I would say that one of the biggest pluses this season is the use of practical effects, which, and I'm not criticizing Stranger Things in the past because they had a very stringent budget, but if you watch season one compared to now, it's chalk and cheese. And, the practical effects in the visions and with Vecna, like they did like 11 hours of makeup or something stupid on Vecna every day they were filming with him.
Was it 11 hours?
11, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems
convenient.
Fucking convenient.
That's the whole day.
That's what the press release said, so is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Let's make it 12.
But I thought like just having him there as a physical presence, no CGI, none of that bollocks, I thought it was such a throwback to like 80s horror, like Krueger, like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street.
It is Robert Englund, isn't it?
No, it's not Robert Englund. Robert Englund,
no, he's Victor like, Creel.
He's the guy in the cell. He's Victor Creel. He's Victor Creel.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
We all know who Vecna is, which we'll come on to in a minute.
Well, yes.
But I thought it was just such a. Because it's so easy these days. Talk about Jurassic World again, fuck off. You know, it's so easy these days to fucking just CGI everything and go, hey, yeah, we'll add it in post or whatever. But actually build some of these sets that they did, like the ending of episode 4, which was completely built, you know, the staircase and the floating vines and all that shit, you can really see how it's just paid off. And with the visions and Vecna literally interacting with the actors, I thought that was just next level. And something you don't see these days. Like, you just don't. Like, practical shit just doesn't happen anymore. That's why when you see the occasional, like, actual puppet in a Star Wars show, I'm like, oh my God, they're using practical effects again. Like, you know, you get really excited. You're like, oh, that's amazing.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, I get very excited. So, but I wanted to talk about Steve.
Because... I love Steve. Steve's my highlight.
I was going to say, Luce, it's kind of like, I think we talked about this, like, it's like our love for the show, you kind of forget, and then you're like, oh wow, I do love this show. You forget about Steve, and then you watch the show and you're like, he is just amazing.
He has so much charisma, it's insane.
I love the guy. And his new relationship with Robin, which is very sweet and lovely, and his relationship with Dustin still, those three for me.
And he makes Nancy less boring. When she's away from Jonathan, a bit more about her. I don't hate her. She's fine. But Jonathan is a void. very boring in the last season. But yeah, a little bit of spark with Steve. I think Steve's going to die. I think he probably should.
Next season.
I don't want to spoil anything for you.
You don't know.
The Duffer brothers actually did an interview recently, believe it or not, about Steve. And they said they're never going to kill him off. That's what they said.
Maybe they should.
Right, so he's definitely dead then. He's definitely dead.
He'll die saving Nancy from her predicament, if you can call it that.
Maybe. I do think that Nancy and Jonathan, I've always looked at it like, this is just, it doesn't work. It's just weird. Like, I kind of got it in the first season. That made sense. But now.
But when they were at school Jonathan, and he's like weirdo and she's like kind of popular girl or whatever, like fine. But now they're both just boring and weird. Like, there's no like dichotomy between them. It doesn't work.
Isn't it quite interesting? Because it's kind of like, you got the 80s trope films where you've got this like nerdy weirdo loser that ends up getting the girl and then the film ends. Whereas actually this is like, well, if the film continued, eventually that relationship is definitely dying on its ass.
And she'll go back to her jock boyfriend who's actually a legend and is nice. Like, why wouldn't you want to be with him? I want to be with him.
Talking about legends, thoughts on old Eddie Munson? I think he's great.
Yeah.
I genuinely think he's great.
My next note in the highlights was Eddie Munson is a fantastic addition to the show. Unfortunately, I think he is my number one pick for dying because he has no real...
That would be so cheap.
No value.
It would be cheap. But that's what they'll do, John. That's an easy out for them. To kill someone who you
new friend, Roberto. Hey, Roberto.
He looks
cool,
so old.
Man. He's dead. lazy.
He's been stabbed by one of those people who have been practicing their knife crime situations.
Fucking hell.
He is good. And I thought that his relationship with Dustin made a real interesting impact on Steve, which now has made this sort of bromance between Eddie and Steve that you saw happening towards the end of episode 6 or something, that where they're like, hey, you know, Dustin really talks highly of you. He's like, oh yeah, he loves you too. And then they're sort of bonding over that. And I really like that because I think Dustin is just, obviously we love Dustin. And John said something very interesting. What was it, John? That he's never going to be able to do anything else in his life. Poor Gabe.
No, he won't. He's not going to be in anything else.
He could be in musicals because he was in Les Mis as, what's his name, Gavroche, the little lad when he was younger, so he can sing. So he could be in musicals. So
okay, fine. But it's going to be like, okay. Oh, look, Dustin's in some musical.
Yes, I will see it and it will be good.
The Stranger Things musical.
Oh, I'm sure he will. He'll be doing Panto, 100%. Give it 15 years.
Pretending that you wouldn't go and see him as Buttons or whatever in Aladdin, you would.
Look at that.
Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow or something. It would be amazing.
Straight to Buttons. He's fucking Prince Charming. He's a Hollywood actor.
Oh,
Buttons. Why isn't he Aladdin?
Steve will be Prince
Buttons
Charming.
Buttons in like Bromley
or Princess
Theatre.
Jasmine.
Yeah, I'm there. See you there.
Comes stumbling out on stage. He's clearly still pissed. Oh, kids, I was in Stranger Things. It's good, isn't it?
Do the accent.
Ooh. No, that is what he sounds like after he comes out of rehab.
Oh, no.
Look, he's a sweet kid, isn't he? He's kind of a bit like... he's going to do a Macaulay Culkin, isn't he? That's what he's going to do.
Fly off the rails for a bit. Then
he's not going to be in anything serious. Yeah, well, look, he might not be off the rails. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be in rehab, but 70% chance.
I think he'll go back to the stage. That's my prediction. I'll see him there.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Do you not think, though, like the lads have just been a bit undersold this season?
Let's talk about this fucking California.
Must
line.
We? There's must
two
we? Two
things we should talk about. So let's talk about California. I think other than the time they go to visit Susie, I think the fucking Mike and Will dynamic is just bizarre. Will I understand what they're trying to go with him having, you know, this internal struggle.
Poor Will.
He's obviously, and I said this to John because John was slagging him off in the WhatsApp. And I said, look, he's been through a lot, man. Like, think he's been like possessed. He's been like, he almost died in the Upside Down. But it's not that. It's not like the trauma thing they're really playing on. They're playing on something else, which I'm sure will get revealed towards the end of the season. But he's just, the scripting and the way he's aged has really not helped his character. And that's not necessarily his fault. He just...
All right,
he's
lads,
aged.
I'm Will and I'm the youngest one.
You remember
14.
Me?
Yeah.
14 years old.
Because he was the like slightest, most sort of childish, innocent one of the way. Yeah. And now he's like an adult. It's crazy.
See, I actually think, there's a chance he dies and maybe he does it like sacrificing himself for Mike, who he
And what's interesting is what is he on that painting that he's got? You know, he's trying to show,
and that will be revealed after he dies.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking, guys. That's not a bad shout.
All
but
of them with no clothes on.
Oh my god!
What painting? I feel like I've missed this.
It's art. It's art.
What painting has he done?
This whole season, Lucy, if you've not noticed it, he's literally, every scene, he's carrying like
an
fucking...
An
easel with an A1 painting on it, and he keeps going like... Mike keeps going like, oh, what's that? And he goes, oh, don't worry about it. Like, literally, it's fucking bizarre.
Oh, I've just
like,
blanked
he takes
that
it
out.
Into the,
oh, poor Will.
He takes it with him to the airport or something. It's like, what the fuck?
Wearing a beret. Yeah.
He's got it.
With his little paintbrush behind his ear. I've missed it all.
Yeah. I think Mike... he's also just suffering this season. Like, he is just...
They've given him nothing. Just, I think it's quite bad.
They've given him donuts. And even his relationship with Elle at this point. I mean, we'll talk about Elle now, actually. I quite like, and this ties into the ending. When they first showed going back to the Hawkins lab, I was like, oh, I cannot be fucked with
this.
Yeah,
same.
Like,
I thought Papa was dead. Did Papa not die?
Papa. I was genuinely like...
That is horrible, that, honestly.
What?
No, just you doing it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Right. I was like, what scary bit did I miss? Oh, it was me.
You're the monster.
The real horror. I'm the real monster, yeah.
When you can't see the monster, it's because it's you.
But I will say that... by the end of the season, the Hawkins stuff, even though it did become a bit repetitive, and I think they could have got there a little bit sooner. I do think the payoff is delicious. Absolutely brilliant.
I saw
it coming. Don't get me wrong. I saw it coming.
So
like,
you thought that he would be Vecna?
Yep, 100%.
When they started mentioning number one, I was like, he's obviously number one. But it didn't occur to me,
obviously,
I have to say. And I did, because I felt the same, like, oh, I cannot believe we're back in, like, the lab. This is really repetitive. And I said in our first episode that I didn't like the framing of Elle as this monster when actually she's an abused child. So the way that it linked back, I did think, wow, no, that's actually a payoff. worth having. But yeah, it dragged a bit, but and then it seemed to happen quick. The reveal was like, take the chip out of my neck.
Well, but they also like they really hammed it up. It was like, yes, we understand that he's Vecna, and yet like they kept no, sorry. At the end, when
the little reveal on his
fires him through, yeah, exactly. Like, so we see him turning into Vecna, and then they go zoom in on the 001.
He's got 001 on his wrist, man. I am Vecna
number one.
I will say that. When I first saw at the start of the season the scene where all those people have been murdered and you like Eleven's done this, I was like, oh shit, okay. Here's a bit of context to a character that I was like, you are literally a murderer. I can't really root for you anymore. But then as the season goes on, you obviously get the idea that it wasn't her. And you're kind of
like, the perfect viewer for something like this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because I bet you definitely were sitting there notes. Oh, what's going on here? I'm happy with this.
Minus one for 11.
I don't like her anymore. What a dickhead. No, but I actually thought, even though it took a while and it took a bit too long, I thought the payoff was very good. And I will say that it has been. The good thing about it is, like, it gives Eleven, instead of just fucking reaching her hand out and, like, you know, using her powers, it gives her an actual nemesis, you know, like, which is exactly what the show needed, because every single season it's about Elle. You know, like you said, Lucy, the way this season's kind of good is because they don't have any fucking psychic abilities to save them. They have to do it like in the most creative ways. And I just hope that this like nemesis dynamic between Eleven and One, or Vecna, really, I just hope it really leads to something climactic. And John mentioned that, you know, and we'll talk about it now. Do you think Eleven will sort of survive Stranger Things? Do you think she'll survive the whole thing? Because I was saying to John, it seems like, and spoiler warning, a very Iron Man situation. You know what I mean? That's what it
he's
feels
gonna be
like
in
to
it,
me.
Is he?
Jet in.
Yeah.
I feel like this kind of show, she won't die, I don't think.
Oh. Okay.
She'll lose her powers.
Yeah, and that will make her happy.
We've done that already. We've just done that, for fuck's sake. We're not doing that again, are we? Well, she wanted her powers back, because I tell you what, that fucking, I will just quickly say this, that fucking girl who like bullies her, I hate that girl. Mm. I hate that girl so much.
She's got what she deserved.
Slightly
extreme, maybe, but you know, there's like a thing now that people think they can just say whatever they want and not face any consequences, you know.
like John on this podcast.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, and that's what she won.
Can I can I go through some lowlights, please?
Yep. Yeah, you can.
Now,
yep.
You know, I think everyone here knows I love Hopper. Absolutely love him. How utterly dreadful was that, where it's like, you know, the end of season three, you're like, oh, he's obviously he's in that room. Yeah. He's been obliterated, hasn't he? Because
sacrifice
definitely
himself.
Been obliterated. We know he's alive, and it's like, okay, fine. Maybe he slipped through a crack in the thing and ended up, you know, in the other world or whatever. What actually happened is I just went on the floor. Just on the floor. Sorry?
It's really
what?
Annoying.
Nah, that is the
terrible.
Safest place.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fact.
Duck
did
cover.
Did you see him die? No. All right, well, let's go anyway. What?
Must
is,
be dead.
Oh, shit.
No way
really
he's surviving
shit.
That. He got up and said, don't know what you're worried about.
Oh, no, look, there he is. Just on the floor over there.
Yeah, that reveal was really dumb. It's like he is
really
just lying
shit.
Down
Lazy.
At this point. Oh.
This goes back to what we were saying about them having the faith to kill off characters. Like, when you actually think Hopper's dead and the music comes in and, you know, we love that track and you have this amazing swell at the end of the show, it's so emotional and charged because Hopper is easily one of the best characters in the show. And you've had this fantastic relationship with him. You know the things that he's been through. It is completely undercut at the end of that season with a post-credit scene. And then, to clear the confusion up, they released like a trailer like a year ago of him in a fucking gulag.
It was really annoying.
And you kind of like, and you sit there and go, guys, you've just undercut all that hard work you've done. Like, imagine how powerful it would have been. And I get they've got to have Joyce and Murray doing something this season, which I kind of like their dynamic. It's fine. I like Joyce a lot.
But can't she just be happy at home? Why does she have to be doing anything?
Imagine the reveal of Hopper coming back at the end of the season or something. Like how much more powerful that is. Like not knowing.
Well, but they could have done Joyce and Murray without revealing that Hopper's all right. Like again, referring back to Lucy and Emma's excellent episode 1 and 2 pod. I think you two suggested that it could have been pretty powerful to have had them to have been in their shoes where they don't know whether he's alive or not. And it's a bit of a leap of faith and they go to Russia.
Where do you want to go? Russia? What part?
Let's go Russia.
Gulag.
Big place, narrow it down. Yeah. Go one of the gulags.
Nearest gulag, please.
Kamchatka, which I do love because it, and I'm sure you'd love it as well, Len. It will remind you of Risk.
Yeah. Great game.
But what I will say is,
nerd.
I don't know. You might disagree. But I really like Antonov as a character, and I'm kind of
Jack and Hagar.
Oh, he's so hot.
Yeah, Jack and Hagar.
He's so fit. Yeah. His hair and his voice.
American.
He's a cool guy.
American.
He's really fit.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of him. So I'm not a fan of having that whole storyline, but I am glad that we've got Antonov.
Oh, yeah. I think he's a great addition. And like the Russia stuff, as much as I kind of, once again, it went on way too
it's
long.
It's really boring.
Like, there's some cool elements in there. What I will say, I really like the Demogorgon. Like you see the Demogorgon, like now they've actually got a bit of budget. You see the Demogorgon just ripping people to shreds. I was like, oh yes.
The practical effect. Just the guy in a suit, just proper, just jumping around and stuff. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good.
Awesome. but it was good. That was good. I liked the build up to that moment because that was like, that was decent. But the rest of it just took too long. And like I said, like you're right, John. They should have just fucking kept the fact that he's alive a secret, maybe to even next season. Imagine that, final season, Hopper comes back out of nowhere.
If they wanted to keep him alive, I mean, look, the end of season 3, there's the whole spiel about, you know, keep the door open, whatever it was, 5 inches, 6 inches,
hold
whatever.
The door.
And we speculated that was a clue as to 11 opening the gate for him to escape through.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
He doesn't remember because it's not his own ideas. He just reads it off Reddit, and as soon as the podcast's recorded, that's it, gone, wiped. Well, anyway, but imagine if that would have happened, and then but there's no reference to Hopper being in this season, and then the bit where Steve's like on the floor, he's getting choked out. Imagine if it's Hopper that turns up and saves him.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like, that'd be
hell. What are you doing here? But also, and it would be quite cheap as well. But
that'd be great.
That would be better than just being stuck in a shithole in Russia.
Yep.
And I'm allowed to say that because Russia, you know, not popular at the moment. Did you just say Russia, fuck them?
Yeah, fuck them.
Right, okay. Good. Very brave of you. You're normally very political on this podcast. Finally taken aside.
Any other lowlights, John, or are you done with your lowlights? Or you got any more?
Just the bullies in it. Just constant. They're just so. And I understand it's supposed to be a trope, but fucking hell. Like, come on. Like, but, you know, I'm not going to stick up for bullies here, but they're not like. It's not just 100% evil. Like, come on. I sort of give the ones in the lab a pass because they're obviously nutters. But the kids at school, it's just so... I find it quite a difficult watch, actually. It's kind of like, oh, I'm sick of this. It's just depressing, isn't it? Mm. And it's not real. It's too much. It's too much. So, yeah, when that girl got her nose broken, I was like, do you know what? I wish she just died there and then, honestly.
Stop wanting people to die. I don't...
No, but like, it's just... not. It just winds me up. Too much. There's no, like... Mm. There's no intricacy to it. It's just lazy, isn't
it? Yeah. It's a bit cheap. It's a bit of a cheap setup. Like, you know, oh, look, let's
have a couple
of
episodes of this. You've got all the extras in the background. Like, woo! Oh, fucking hell. Like, look, I'm hitting my pop guard now. I'm that annoyed. But it's just like, oh, come on.
I think what it did do,
though... I despise it. I find it so lazy.
It is. I mean, the bullies, as you say, was a trope. But I think the whole kind of L in school segments kind of reminded me at least...
Hell in school? Whoa. Am I right?
Yeah. That she didn't grow up like a normal child, and she doesn't know how to interact with other people. She doesn't understand the hierarchies of high school. She thinks she can say to her bully, pretend to be my friend in front of my boyfriend. Like, she's just completely clueless. And it kind of gave us a bit of that aspect of her life, which I think was useful. But I don't think that's ever going to come into it again. So why do we need to know?
I don't think we can be in California without talking about Argyle.
Yeah, he's awful, isn't he?
No, it's just... It's overacting or like over scripting.
Well, Jonathan will take what he can get, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone else is probably looking at him going, you're about 15 years older than all of us here. What's going on? Like, he's just shit, isn't he? And everything he does annoys me.
Yeah.
Like, as you say, Gaz, overacting. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, mate. The bit where he answers the phone in the pizza place.
For the pizza? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, come on. That's
so
that.
Shit. Yeah.
See, that's not real. That's never happening. That is never happening. Nobody
talks for 30
seconds.
That is why this isn't a documentary. Yeah.
No,
it's just shit.
Yeah.
They're all
I
shit.
I agree.
Everyone is cursed in Cali.
California storyline, easily one bloop. Anyway, good. All right, guys. Well, that's our thoughts on Stranger Things season 4. But I thought, as is tradition with such a classic show and the way we used to do things around here, I've got a little game for us to... OG listeners will know we used to love a little game, and it used to cause many an argument within the fan critical community.
Because it's garbage every time.
Because I always rig them.
Yeah,
that annoy people.
I don't care now. Just get on with it.
He's getting on with it, yeah. Ever since Question John one. Was the first ever loser of how the fuck have you not seen that quiz? Because I surprised him with the quiz at the start. Memento, remember that, John?
Yeah,
you've never recovered. That was good. It's gonna be a little musical interlude, and then we'll bring it in. So cue the music. Welcome back. This is Vecna's Easter Egg Hunt, and how this works is it's that game where we go in order. So the order is going to be Lucy, Gaz, John, okay? And what you have to do is name a reference, so it could be a film or a musical artist that is named or referenced in the show. And I have compiled a list of every reference that I can think of. I've scoured the internet as well to find others. I've scoured Reddit. I've got a list of like 20 things here that are referenced in season 4. If it's on the list, you stay in the game. If it's not in the list or you can't come up with one quickly enough, you're out of the game and it's the last survivor that will win.
Right.
Sound good?
I have a question, sorry.
Okay.
Go on, Lucy. Just,
do video games count?
To films.
Do video games count? I don't even have a video game.
You've
on
got a list, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm checking it. There's no video games on here, Lucy.
Well,
so
you've missed
the
good Easter egg.
No,
but...
the answer.
Okay, fine.
Well, it doesn't matter, Lucy. The list is final, right? Well. So that's it.
Shoddy. Right.
So anyway.
She's already out.
Yeah.
She's already my turn, out. Is it?
No. Right, okay. I'm going to start some lovely quiz music, and then we're going to start with Lucy, and we're going to go round, okay, until we eliminate someone. Okay. Your time and the lovely music starts now. Lucy.
Kiss.
Yep. That is good.
Is that actually on the list?
Well, what do you mean? There's a Kiss song on there. It's referenced in the film. Don't question this, John.
What film? Seems like you just name stuff. It's just a poster of this. Like...
right, anyway. Gaz, you said Nightmare on Elm Street? Correct.
Yep.
War Games.
Correct.
Yeah.
Kate Bush.
Correct.
What's going on here? Why is that an Easter egg? It's just a fucking song. I'm so confused.
John?
It's not an Easter egg. It's just media that's
it's not
mentioned.
It's a reference.
Why are you struggling to understand
Why
this
Why can't
game?
You gasp this
I don't,
game? This
is it's mental. Not an Easter egg, is it? It's kind of like if it's, someone was to run past in like a fucking yellow tracksuit, you go, oh, yeah, it's a reference to Game of Death, Bruce Lee. That's an Easter egg. If someone
goes,
it's just a fucking song playing on the radio. I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing. It's just bizarre.
You're hung up
really
on the
bizarre.
Name. You hung up on the name. Just let that go and just continue the game.
Mm. Surely it's just pop culture references.
That's what I said in the description. Anyway, Gav, have you gone or what?
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. Yep, I've got that on here. Next.
Ghostbusters.
Yep, I've got that on here. Next.
Yeah, it's lazy, isn't it?
Duck Hunt.
No.
It's not on the list, but Erica says it.
Lucy. And they played. You are right about Duck Hunt.
Yeah, I love
it's
Duck
not on
Hunt.
The list. But
it's
I'm
not
gonna
on
let,
the
I'm
list.
Gonna let it, I'm going to let it go because she's right.
Showing you right up. I've shown you right up. Yes.
Right, that guys. Is fantastic. Imagine starting a quiz going, do video games count? And the answer is no. And then your third answer is a video game.
I've forgotten everything else.
Hey.
That is fantastic.
Look, John, she'll be out next round, so don't worry about it. Gaz.
Harsh. Pretty harsh.
I've been distracted by all this nonsense. No, not yet. Ghostbusters 2.
He's got to go now.
I'm going to give you. I'll give you one chance to say something other than that.
Why?
Because that's silly.
Never-ending story.
Yes, it's on the list. That's lucky. You saved, John.
Yeah. Dr. Zhivago.
Correct, John. John is smashing this. He's getting some good ones as well. Go on, Lucy.
Joy Division.
I don't have that on the list.
She's
not on the list.
She's having a punt.
She's having a punt.
I remember them having a song on the soundtrack a couple of seasons ago. And I was going to say Peanut Butter, and then I thought, that's probably not going to be one either.
I was looking at my list, I was like, Joy Division on there. Unlucky, Luce. That's, you know, Duck Hunt, though. You showed me up, because that's a good one that I didn't have on the list.
That was a good one.
I love Duck Hunt.
Gaz and John, this is head-to-head now. Let's go.
Gareth. Pop culture reference. Do board games count?
There is one on here.
D&D.
Yep, it's on there. Next.
Watchmen.
Yep, that's on there.
God.
Just going through alphabetically.
I wasn't watching this at all.
He's adding it to the list. Look.
Ooh, I just thought of another one.
No title.
All right, pop culture. Do international conflicts count?
No.
No. Cold War.
There's so many guys.
I might be four. Out. Halloween.
Yes.
Yep.
It's on there. Very good one as well. Very good one.
I remember it.
Now John, who's coasting. The tables can turn quickly.
Really,
here.
I mean.
John was coasting.
What about arachnophobia?
It's not on the list, John. But
no,
that would have been a good one.
Because it's got spiders, can't it?
Fucking hell.
So, Gareth, you've run Vecna's Easter egg hunt out of nowhere.
Can I say the one I remembered?
Can you name some of the answers?
Yep.
Dream a Little Dream of Me. That was an obvious one.
You could have had the artist and that, yes. But here we go. Here's the list compiled. The rest of the ones that we haven't mentioned. Alien 3. Lord of the Rings, Amityville Horror, Carrie, which you should definitely got, Firestarter, which you should have got, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Hellraiser, Silence of the Lambs, which I'm surprised none of you got.
Hellraiser was what I was going to say, but I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't really connect it to anything.
Hellraiser 5, Bloodlines.
It reminded me of Hellraiser, but that doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah, no,
reference.
But that's yeah. Silence of the Lambs, which I thought you'd all get because of the Robert Englund
scene.
The way that the characters die is The Ring. I thought you guys would have got that as a sort of, you know, the way the characters die. Several references to Star Wars, X-Men, The Evil Dead, Police Academy 3.
specifically.
Why 3?
Because it's on at the cinema, isn't it?
They say they're going to go see it at the cinema, watch it. And they heard it's shit. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah.
Because Eddie and...
Thingy Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Yes. There's several Sherlock Holmes quotes in there from Dustin.
Yeah.
And that is it. Yeah. That's my list. So you actually missed quite a few off there.
Yeah.
No, my mind went blank.
And, you know, I will cherish this victory. It was scrappy. But,
it goes to show you, someone like John was coasting. John was giving the most left field answers, like Zhivago, War Games, stuff like that. And then out of nowhere, he just struggled. And that's what can happen in this game. You take your eye off the ball for a second.
But they stuck with me because I remembered them. Whereas the other ones were just like, I couldn't find a connect.
There you go. Well,
there was one in there that was an actual so the carry thing, that is an Easter egg.
Oh, 100%.
And also the Watchmen thing was as well. But there you go. Good.
There you go. Very much fun. It was lovely to have, although it's very early in the morning here, I've actually cried with laughter at times and had a very lovely podcast with you all.
Always crying.
It's been always crying. That's the main takeaway from this podcast. But it's been lovely to have you all back on for Stranger Things. I hope we can get all five of us for the final two episodes, which air, I think it's July 4th and 5th.
I thought it was the first.
Ooh, it could be.
Watch it on your birthday, Len.
Oh, yeah, we could do. That's a good point. July 2nd for any listeners who want to send me any gifts. Only nice gifts, nothing dodgy, please. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining me. It's been a lot of fun. And congratulations to Gareth.
Thank you.
Well done, Gareth.
Well done, mate. And
big quiz guy. Done from me.
And thank you to the lovely listeners for listening and sticking with us. Once again, patreon.com/fancritical if you want to help us out, throw some dollary doos our way. Catch you on the next one, guys. Probably going to be Obi-Wan, probably me and John. Probably going to be really fun because the Star Wars ones are always a bit like, is it good or is it shit? And then me and John kind of always fall on a little bit of a different end of the spectrum there.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. See you on the next one, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.